Good morning, harvest time. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yes. I'm going to invite you to worship the Lord with us this morning. Today, it's all about Jesus, yes. About his sacrifice, and for the open door that he gave to the Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
fix our gaze on you this morning, Jesus. Lord, we were the hopeless ones, and through you, Jesus, we found hope. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. This morning, Lord, we wait on you and what you want to do, Lord. Come and have your way, Jesus. Thank you. the name above all, the name that gave us life, the name that heals, if we will just hold on to that name. Jesus, will you say it with me? Jesus, Jesus. Thank you so much for your presence in this place. We thank you for what you've already started doing in our hearts, God. And we surrender to more of what you have for us for the rest of the service, God. We love you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Amen. Why don't you turn to each other, greet one another with the love of God, and you may be seated. God bless you.
Hey everyone, we are so glad you're joining us. Whether you are with us online or in person, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit htchurch.com.
If you would like to give, you can visit us at htchurch.com. Click on Give at the top of the page or use our Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving or give at any time using the Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, meet us at the Connect Desk. We love you, Harvest Time Church, and have an amazing week.
Good morning, everybody. God bless you. Welcome to Harvest Time. We're so glad that you came to worship the Lord with us this morning. Didn't the team do a great job leading us into the Lord's presence today? We're so glad you're here with us. We also want to welcome everybody who's worshiping with us online this morning. If you're watching and worshiping with us on YouTube, please go ahead and subscribe to our channel. We'd like to let all of our moms and dads know that we have nursery care for your infants and toddlers in all of our services. If your little ones are having just a bit of trouble this morning sitting all the way through the service, just reach out to one of our hosts and they'll be glad to point you in the right direction. In the 9 o'clock service, we've got ministry for all of our kids up to the age of 4, and in this service, there's ministry for everybody from birth up to grade 5. The ushers are going to be coming just a few moments to wait on us for our giving, and we want to take this opportunity to thank you for all of your loving financial support of HTC. Thank you for your faithfulness in bringing the Lord's tithe. We very much appreciate also all of your giving towards the work of missions, spreading the good news of Jesus around the world, and we very much appreciate your gifts towards the Prepare His House campaign. In your program this morning, there's an envelope, and you can use that envelope to give in several different ways. You can give by a check made payable to Harvest Time Church. You can give using a debit card or a credit card, and if you do give that way, please make sure that you fill out the complete card information. If you're giving cash and you'd like to receive credit for your giving today, please make sure that we can tell who you are. Online giving is available to you anytime, very secure, safe, and easy to get started at htchurch.com. Just use the giving link at the top of the homepage. You can give by text, and instructions on how to give by text are on the screens behind me, or you can give using our Realm app. A couple of quick announcements for you. This coming Wednesday, we're hosting a special concert out on the lawn, and we guarantee there's no rain that's gonna be here this Wednesday. I guess we're declaring it. How's that? And we're calling it Jazz on the Green. Looking forward to a great night with our friend Glauco Lima and some other really wonderful musicians. Bring your lawn chairs, picnic blanket, bring some dinner to enjoy. Stay around afterwards as we're going to be enjoying some ice cream and fellowship together again. We've been having a great time on these Wednesday nights. Great time of fellowship. That's Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Youth group will be enjoying their squad games, and kids in grades K through 5 have a sports camp. We also will have preschool and toddler nursery available. Then on the following Wednesday, the last 26, we're going to round off the month with worship and a water baptism on that Wednesday. So if you have not yet been baptized in water, this is going to be a wonderful opportunity for you. Take advantage of that. Take that important step of obedience to the Lord. If you would like to be baptized, there is still time for you to do so. You can simply scan the QR code that's in your program this morning, and then when you do that, you'll receive some information from the church office as to how to prepare, what to know, what to do. So take advantage of that. I'm going to ask the ushers to come and wait on us now for our giving. And while you're giving today, we have a wonderful treat for you. Noah Pangan, one of our students, is going to be playing for us. Noah has just graduated from middle school, and he's going to be a freshman at Stanford High this fall. Noah was invited again to compete this year on our National Fine Arts Festival in the classical piano category. Last year, out of all the thousands of students that compete, he came in sixth in the nation in classical piano. Now, Noah, I believe he's 13, and he was just also invited to play at Carnegie Hall. How about that? So while we're giving this morning, Noah's going to be playing for us Chopin's Waltz in B minor. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite the Father's blessing upon us and the seed that we're about to sow into his kingdom, and then Noah's going to bless us with his playing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for providing for us the way that you do. You truly are our good shepherd. You showed us the meaning of loving and the meaning of giving when you gave Jesus your son. With joyful hearts now, Lord, we come returning to you the tithe and bringing you our gifts for missions and our gifts for our building fund. Father, we ask that you would take and multiply this seed now that we're sowing into your faithful hands. Let it meet the needs of this, your house, and enable us to take the love of Jesus and the good news of his gospel all across our region and all around the world. Father, we pray that you would open the windows of heaven, prosper your faithful people in the week ahead as we put our confidence in you. If you agree with that, would you say amen and amen. God bless you as you give this morning.
Thank you so much, Noah. Wasn't that awesome? We always pray over all of our harvest time kids that God will just make them the cream of the crop. We pray that God will make them like Daniel and his three Hebrew friends in Babylon and just let them come up to the surface. Let me tell you something. God is the door opener in our life. So he's the one that puts favor, grace upon us. When there was a beauty contest in Persia, Esther was in the beauty contest, and it says when they looked at her, they saw grace upon her. And so we pray that when people look at our Harvest Time kids, they'll see the grace of God all over them. Amen. God bless you, everybody. Good morning. We're glad you're here. Glad to see you. Now, listen, you got to help me out because in the first service, you know, they were just like a little, I don't know what happened. All their coffee makers were broken this morning. So they were a little flat this morning. Or I wasn't flat. They were flat. All right. So I need you to help me and not be flat today as we preach the word of God. Just before we share the sermon, I want to ask Rosanna Sandromano to come from our missions committee. And I want to ask any of the team that's going to Indonesia, would you come and join us here on the platform? Come stand right on either side of the pulpit here with me. This has been a great summer of missions. Boy, here they come. There's a bunch of them. There was a bunch in the first service. So we've had some great missions opportunities this summer. Rosanna was with a small team a couple of weeks ago. They were in Europe helping Ukrainian refugee children, helping get some arts camps established. So it's art therapy for these refugee children from Ukraine who have been displaced by the war. And while they're just ministering to their soul, to their person through art, they're also giving the good news of Jesus and the gospel. And so that team was in Spain and in Germany, came home. Just yesterday, a group came home from the LA Dream Center. Where's my LA Dream Center crew? Wave your hand if you were part of the LA Dream Center crew. Just came home yesterday from a week of just sharing God's love. And now this team is leaving on Wednesday for Indonesia. Some of you know our friend, Pastor Don Butera. He's preached here several times at Harvest Time. Has a great church in Bali. And don't feel sorry for these people. They're going to Bali. So, but they're not going to the beach in Bali. They're going to people in need. They're going to be doing a mobile medical clinic. They're going to be doing a children's program and an evangelistic crusade, feeding people. And so we just want to pray. In your bulletin, there's just a little flyer. It says, pray for Indonesia. And I hope that starting Wednesday, you'll just pray every day for this team, for God's health, safety, protection, for his anointing, for his fruitfulness. And we're just so grateful. The Lord said, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And we're thankful for these men and women, these families that have said, we'll go, Lord, send us. So would you stretch your hands forward towards these folks and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for these amazing men and women, our brothers and sisters, for these families, Lord, who have chosen rather than to go on a relaxing summer vacation, they've chosen to go halfway around the world to take the good news of Jesus. Lord, we pray for your anointing on this team. Father, we pray that everyone they interact with would just feel the love of God coming through them. Lord, we just pray for your good health on them. Lord, we pray for your traveling mercies. Every airplane, every vehicle that they travel in, Lord, we pray that you'd keep them safe, bring them safely to their destination. Bring them safely home again. Lord, I pray that great fruit would be won for the kingdom of God. And I pray that you'd bring our friends home to us, just like the disciples who rejoiced at what they saw you do. Let them come home, Lord, with rejoicing and great testimonies of things you've done. Lord, we thank you for it. If your heart agrees with that, would you just say amen and amen with us? Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much, Indonesia team. God be with you. God bless you. We'll be keeping updates. Thank you so much. Give them a hand one more time as they find their way back to their seats. Okay, a couple things real quick. We're going to read from James chapter 1. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, you can find your way there. But very quickly, I need everybody's help today. We have a wonderful friend in our congregation who is turning 100 today. And our friend Sandy Ciccatelli. If you know Sandy, I call her my little prayer warrior. She is 4'11", but she's 10 feet tall in the spirit. And I want you to know that Sandy and her prayer team, they prayed us through when we were going for zoning for the first building and for this building. The town of Greenwich is anti-development. They don't want large-scale development. And so we had a little bit of an uphill battle to get zoned to build a church here. And so when we had public hearings, Sandy came with her prayer team and sat in the back of the room during the public hearing. Now, Sandy has many, many gifts, but one of them is not whispering. She doesn't have the ability to whisper. And so while we were going through the public hearings, every time somebody got up to speak against the church building a building here, Sandy would break out into tongues loudly. I'd hear, shatara ba, shatara. And my attorney leaned over to me and he said, what is that? And I just said, you don't want to know. But Sandy prayed us through. She prayed us onto this property. And she's prayed for us all these years. She prays for me and Denise personally. She always prays for our health. She prays for our eyesight. You know, when I was 29, I didn't appreciate the value of those prayers. At 56, Pastor Ruth, I'm starting to realize how valuable those prayers are. But here's what I want you to do. We have a birthday card. Sandy's birthday party is this afternoon. And we have a birthday card out at the Welcome Center, a big one. And I want as many people as we can from Harvest Time to just sign that birthday card and just say we love you, Sandy, and sign your name. And I just want to fill up that whole card and let her know how much loved and appreciated and how grateful we are for all of her prayers across the decades. Okay, just before we read from James 1, starting in verse 12, College Connect is meeting tonight. If you're a college student or a recent graduate, we'd love to see you. We're meeting in Mount Kisco at the DiCarlo home. And if you need information about that, stop at the Welcome Center and Kimmy will let you know where to go. One last thing, Philip and Tony, where are you? Philip Antunes and Tony Anello, where are you? Are you here? Stand up if you would. Philip and Tony got engaged last night. So congratulations, Philip and Tony. I can already feel myself getting verklempt, so the wedding's going to be a challenge. But we love you, Philip and Tony. Congratulations. All right, James chapter 1, starting in verse 12. The Bible says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all that he created. I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about the Father of lights, the Father of lights. This summer, we're studying the New Testament letter of James. This is a pastoral letter. It addresses matters of practical Christian living. And the very first topic that James writes about is the topic of trials. Everyone goes through trials, but James is thinking particularly about the trials that we experience in the world because we love Jesus. James's sheep were the very first Christians from the city of Jerusalem who were forced out of their homes by intense persecution. They were scattered all around the Mediterranean seacoast. and they were suffering for Jesus' sake. Still today, believers in the world face spiritual warfare because fallen human society hates the Jesus that we love. Last week, we shared with you some reasons to count it all joy in the midst of trials. Now, in verses 12 and forward, James is still on the topic of trials. Trials have a way of causing us to question the goodness of God. Trials cause us to question God's care for us, His character, His fairness. And trials and temptation go hand in hand. Trials around us can awaken temptation within us. And then we blame God if we succumb. Lord, why didn't you protect me from this situation? Why did you allow me to walk right into those circumstances? Why didn't you stop me? Lord, why didn't you step in? Why didn't you help me? To that thought, James says, whoa, let's remember who God is. He is the Father of lights. You know, it's the only place in the entire Bible that God is called by that particular title. Looking at these verses, I want to share with you six things to remember about God in your trial. Six things to remember about God in your trial. On your way in, you received a program. In your program, there's an outline of today's sermon. And if you like, you can listen, fill in the blanks, follow along. For those of you worshiping with us online, welcome. And if you'd like a copy of today's sermon outline, there's a link to a PDF file in the chat section of the live stream. Just click on that and you can have an outline. Who is the Father of Lights? Six things to remember about God in your trial. First of all, He is a promise keeper. He is a promise keeper. James says, the Lord has promised to give a crown of eternal life to those of us who love Him. James knew that this promise is good. He knew that this promise is trustworthy because he saw Jesus risen from the dead. On Easter Sunday morning, Jesus' mother, Mary, and a few other women went to the tomb to finish the job of wrapping Jesus' body. But they were met by an angel who said, look, he isn't here. He is risen just as he said. James was the eldest of four half-brothers of Jesus. During Jesus' public ministry, James and the other brothers didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. You can read about that in the Gospels. But after the resurrection, Jesus appeared personally to James, and then James knew that everything Jesus had said is true. James says, I can tell you that the promise of eternal life is true because I have seen a resurrected man, not a resuscitated man who was raised back to his former earthly state, but I have seen a heavenly man. I have seen a man transformed into a glorious resurrection body. Beloved, if Jesus has promised us an eternal home in heaven, it is so. You can trust that. Heaven is not just some poetic platitude that was developed by somebody to help us cope with grief here on earth. Don't let some handful of arrogant, cold-hearted pseudo-intellectuals lead you astray from faith in eternal life. Since the very beginning of time, people of every kind, in every place, in every generation, have believed that there is something more beyond this life. The Bible says God has put eternity into our hearts. He has woven into the very fabric of our being the belief, the knowledge that there is something more beyond this life. Do you know, still today, the overwhelming majority of people all around the world believe that there is more beyond this life. So those who do not believe that stand in the minority. They're in the minority of history, and they're in the minority of present day belief. Jesus said, I'm going to be a little theological this morning. Is that all right? Can I tell you some theology this morning? Oh, boy. Jesus, help us. Jesus, save the church. You go and I'll have the 9 o'clock crowd come back. Can I give you some theology today? Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't have said it. I am telling it to you straight, Jesus said. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come back and I'll take you to be there with me. Eternal life is a reality promised by Jesus and substantiated by his own resurrection. Apostle Paul said, if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead, we are wasting our time here. We are the most pitiful of all people, but Christ has been raised from the dead. Peter saw him. John saw him. The 12 saw him. More than 500 saw him at one time. James saw him, and I have seen him too. Jesus can be trusted to keep his promise of eternal life. Now listen, here's the thinking part. If that's true, if Jesus can be trusted to keep his promise of eternal life, then he can also be trusted to keep his promises to help us through the trials of this life. God is my refuge, and God is my strength, a very present help in time of trouble. God is my defensive help when I need a defense. God is my offensive help when I need to charge against the enemy. God is every kind of help I need exactly in the moment that I need it. Because he has loved me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Him, I will deliver him. I will honor him with a long life. I will satisfy him and then show him my salvation. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. See, I am with you all days. Before you doubt God in the midst of your trial, remember that he is a promise keeper who is the Father of lights. Six things to remember about God in your trial. Here's another thought. He is holy. God is holy. When our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell into sin, they immediately played the blame game. Ultimately, their defensive excuses implicated God. Ultimately, they impugned God's character. God said to Adam, Adam, have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to eat from? And Adam replied, this woman that you put here with me. Somebody said how God turned a rib into a loudspeaker. I'll never know. This woman that you put here with me. God turned to Eve. He said to Eve, what have you done? And Eve said, this serpent deceived me. You know, the one you created. Can I tell you, we still follow in their footsteps. When we succumb to temptation, we blame God. God, you allowed me to be in these circumstances. God, you made me the way that I am with all of these particular passions and appetites. You made me with an unusually powerful sex drive. You made me exceptionally curious and adventurous. Someone said to err is human, to blame it on the divine is even more human. James says, okay, here's what you need to know. First of all, you need to know that God is untemptable. Julie, I'm pretty sure that's bad grammar, but it's solid preaching. God is untemptable. He is impervious to temptation. There is no moral weakness within the character of God that temptation could ever latch onto, that temptation could ever seize upon. Sin holds no attraction to God. He's repulsed by sin. He's grieved deeply by sin. It's impossible for God to entertain, even for a nanosecond, the idea of doing something morally wrong. He's the gold standard of morality. He's the measure of all morality. The Apostle John wrote, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. King David said, the Lord is righteous in all his ways. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. Now listen, here's the thinking part. Because God himself is untemptable, it is utterly impossible that God would ever entrap or provoke us to sin. That's not how he rolls. So, in more than 30 years of ministry, there are two things about which I have become absolutely convinced. The first thing is that there is a God. And the second thing is, I am not him. I want to tell you, I absolutely believe with all my heart that God can fix anything. Anything. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. There is nothing impossible for him. But I'm not him. I can't fix anything. It's only if by the grace of God, he works through me according to his will, God might use me as his instrument, but he is God and I am not. And that's precisely James's point in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 1. We are not like God. He is untemptable. We, on the other hand, cannot help but to be tempted. James doesn't say if you are tempted. He says when you are tempted, each person is tempted. And the root of temptation lies within our own hearts. There's something fundamentally flawed inside of us. Rebellion against God's authority is entrenched deep in our heart. We resent his rules. We resent his rulership over us. We're like that little girl in the supermarket aisle throwing a tantrum, shaking her hand and shouting at her mother, "You're not the boss of me." All of mankind has shaken our fist in God's face and said, "You're not the boss of us." There's a moral weakness inside of us. We're self-centered. We're sensual. We're instinctively attracted to precisely what God has told us not to touch. Temptations wouldn't be tempting if it were not for the evil desires in our heart. We can't be lured unless there's an inner proclivity, a vulnerability to sin. James uses the vocabulary of hunting and fishing here in verse 14. How many hunters and fishermen do we have here with us? You a hunter, you a fisherman, you like to hunt, you like to fish? Fisher women, hunter women? A hunter lures its prey, or a fisherman lures its prey out from the safety of its hiding place, and then he strikes. So recently, Denise's Uncle Stan went home to be with the Lord. My father-in-law is here with us in service today. My father-in-law and Uncle Stan have done more for Ukraine, done more to get the gospel into Ukraine than anybody else I know. Uncle Stan was an avid hunter and fisherman. At his funeral, his brother Ed shared a story that we had never heard before. Ed had a bearskin rug in his home in Alberta, Canada, and Uncle Stan wanted a bearskin rug of his own. They were fishing in a remote area of Alberta. It was bear season, and Ed said to Uncle Stan, "I know where there's a bear den." Sure enough, they went traipsing through the woods, and they found the bear den, and its occupant was sleeping inside. So they decided to poke the bear with a long stick. Friends, do not try this at home. The bear didn't budge. So Uncle Stan said to Ed, he said, look, he said, I'm going to fire a shot into the bear's den over the bear's head. And when he comes out, he said, you be ready and you bag him. So sure enough, Uncle Stan fired a shot into the den, but Ed had not really gotten into position. He wasn't ready yet. And that startled bear came bolting out of the den and literally ran right over Ed. But Uncle Stan was ready and he got his bear rug and he got a bunch of bear burgers for the winter. But that's how it works. Temptation passes in front of us, and because of the weakness within us, we are lured away from safe places. We're lured away from the things that God has put in our life that keep us safe. We're lured away from God's protective boundaries. Kids still at home, we're lured away from the covering of our parents' rules. We're lured away from the safety of marriage covenant. We're lured away from good Bible teaching that confronts our wrong thinking. We're lured away from fellowship and friendships that keep us in place and accountable. The end result is spiritual death at the hands of our enemy. If you succumb to temptation, don't blame God. King Solomon said, a man's own folly ruins his life, and then his heart rages against the Lord. In the midst of your trial, remember, God is holy. Who is the Father of lights? You doing all right? All right, we're coming to the halfway mark. Who's the Father of lights? Six things to remember about God. Here's another one. I like this. He is the good gift giver. In the midst of your trial, don't be self-deceived. Don't question God. Don't blame him. God isn't provoking you to sin because he only gives good and perfect gifts. God has given us the beauty and the vast wonder of creation for us to explore and enjoy. He's given us the gift of relationships, especially marriage and family and friends. He gives us daily bread and he supplies all of our needs. And he doesn't supply our needs according to our needs, but he supplies our needs according to his ability to supply. One of the most precious gifts God gives to us, James says, is wisdom for living. He gives us wisdom to have a purposeful and productive and prosperous life. And James tells us how God gives to us. He gives to us generously. James 1:5, we read it last week. If anyone needs wisdom for living, let him ask and ask and ask God, who gives generously to all. God provides for us with heavenly superabundance. James 1:16 is in a continual verbal tense. So what it says is every good and perfect gift is from above, and it keeps coming down and coming down and coming down and coming down and coming down from the Father of lights. You doing all right? Not only is God a generous giver, but he gives to us graciously. James 1:5, again, if anyone needs wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. God doesn't give to us begrudgingly. God doesn't give us good gifts and then hold it over our heads how much he's done for us. Anybody ever know someone like that? He doesn't remind us over and over again how much he's done for us. He doesn't complain about how much it cost him. When we ask God for help, he doesn't say, again? You're here again? I helped you last week, and I helped you the week before, and the week before, and the week before. When we ask, he gives generously and graciously. So I was reminded this week that we should be careful what we complain about. Last Sunday, I complained about my kids leaving me the 2005 Corolla to drive. I had 3 cash offers for the car after service. It's not for sale. I'm sorry. My mom's watching. She'd never forgive me if I sold her car. But we should be careful what we complain about, because on Thursday of this last week, the kids took all the cars and left me on foot. So I snapped a selfie walking up King Street, lugging a big shopping bag full of commentaries and sweating in the July humidity. And I texted it to our family text, our family chat, and I put the caption, "This is me walking to work when I own 3 cars." Fortunately, just like God is impervious to temptation, my kids are impervious to guilt trips. I'd really just playing with them and having fun, but they texted back and reminded me that I could use a good walk. But see, God isn't like that as a father. God doesn't provide good things for our use and then tweak us for enjoying them. God is both generous and gracious. In the midst of your trial, don't question the goodness of God. Don't question his care for you. Don't question his fairness, because he is the good gift giver. Who is the Father of Lights? 6 things to remember about God in your trial. Number 4, he is the Father Creator. He is the Father Creator. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And they keep coming down and coming down and coming down from the Father of Lights. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created the expanse of the universe. God created time and space and matter. The universe doesn't contain God. God exists outside of it and apart from it. Time and space are contained within him in a way I can't even fully explain to you. God created all the stars and all the planets. He created solar systems and galaxies, 2 trillion galaxies organized in galaxy clusters and galaxy superclusters. He set, the Bible says, every one in place, and then he put the whole thing in motion. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing that exists has been made. His direct consent and involvement is involved in everything. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. And in him, all things hold together. You know, scientists can't even figure out what holds the universe together. The universe is, modern science has definitively established 2 things. Number 1, that the universe had a beginning. That's a good news for creationists, because everything that has a beginning has to have a cause. Secondly, the universe is expanding all the time. It's in motion and it's constantly expanding, and they don't know what holds it together, so they call it the G-force, the God force. They're exactly right. Apostle Paul wrote, when you think critically about the creation, when you think about the existence of creation, when you think about its expanse, its variety, its quality, its beauty, its intricacy, its order, its duration, its constancy, the only logical conclusion is that there is a transcendent, all-powerful, and benevolent God that is behind the whole thing. Since the creation of the world, Paul wrote, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Since God, this is the thinking part. You doing all right? You need a little coffee? Can I get you something? Since God is the creator, he's sovereign. He has the right of ownership over everyone and over everything. He is the boss of us. He has the right to tell us what to do and what not to do. He has the right to discipline us and, yes, punish us if necessary. But since God is the Father, everything he has done has been done in perfect love. He's personally invested in us. He's personally interested and aware. He's personally involved. Job said he knows exactly where I'm at on life's road. And when he has refined me, I shall come forth as gold. Before you doubt God in the midst of your trial, remember he is the Father creator. Who is the Father of light? Six things to remember about God in your trial. Here's another one. I like this. He is completely dependable. The heavenly bodies that God created are constantly in motion. The universe is constantly expanding. Galaxy superclusters and clusters, solar systems, everything is in motion. Here on Earth, the sun and the moon and the stars circle around us every day. Through the day, the shadows start long and then they grow short and then they grow long again. In the winter months, the sun coming through the skylight isn't a problem on Sunday mornings, but this time of year, it's a problem. I'm thankful for a cloudy Sunday morning so this side can sit in comfort. And here comes the rain. But God isn't like the shifting shadows. God is constant. God is immutable. God never changes. All these wonderful things that we've told you about God. He's the promise keeper. He's holy. He's the good gift giver. He's the Father creator. It is impossible, impossible for God to be anything less than all of these things. God is never inconsistent. He's never volatile. He's never erratic. He's never temperamental. God doesn't run hot and cold. God is never ruled by his emotions. He has emotions, but he's not ruled by them. His decisions and actions are guided by his settled character of holiness and love. And if God decides judgment is called for, he's utterly fair in doing so. I like this a lot. Somebody said, God's goodness is always at high noon. So listen, I have to ask everybody, listen, look at me. I have to ask this question. Why would anybody consult the stars for wisdom and guidance when they're constantly moving? Why would you not consult the one who made the stars, whose goodness is always at high noon, who never changes? People actually have anxiety. I don't know. We like to torture ourselves. People actually have anxiety about opening the paper and reading their daily horoscope. They're afraid that it's going to say something bad, something negative. Why would you do that to yourself? This is what God, the Father of lights, has to say. I know the plans I have for you. I have plans to prosper and not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future and a good hope. Why would you turn to the stars? Why not turn to him who gives wisdom for living and guidance so generously and so graciously? Before you doubt God in your trial, remember that he is completely dependable. Who is the Father of light? Six things to remember about God. Here's the final one and we're done. Worship team, you can come help me. He is the new identity giver. He is the new identity giver. James writes the most encouraging thing. He says, this promise-keeping, holy, good gift, giving, Father, Creator, completely dependable God, this one, he chose us. Out of the entire parade of humanity, he picked me and he picked you. What a privilege. Chosen means we have a divine purpose. Listen, if you belong to Jesus Christ today, if you've received him as your Savior, if you're born again, your life has meaning. Your life has significance and consequence. It matters that you're here right now, and it'll continue mattering forever in the future. He's chosen us to be spiritually reborn. You have a new father. You have been adopted by the Father of lights. But unlike earthly adoption, that's only legal and relational in a way that I can't even explain to you. When the Father of light adopts you, you become organically connected to him. You're a totally new creation in Jesus Christ. You have new DNA inside of you. You have a whole new family line. You have a whole new heritage behind you, and you have a whole new inheritance awaiting you. He's chosen us to be recipients and bearers of the truth. You are a product of the word of truth, the gospel. You possess the truth. Jesus is the truth, and he is the key to all knowledge and wisdom and understanding. All the perennial questions of mankind that have been posed by the ancients and pondered right down to this day, they are all answered in Jesus. And you testify to the truth in the world. Your very life in Christ is a testimony to what's ultimately true. Finally, this, and we're done. He's the new identity giver. We have been chosen to be harbingers of better things yet to come. We've been chosen to be harbingers of better things yet to come. Listen, 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 and I'm going to wind up with this. Writing to his scattered sheep, James says, be encouraged. I know it hurts. I know you've been displaced for the sake of Christ. I know you've had to start over in a new country that's not hospitable, that's not welcoming. The Gentiles don't want you, and your fellow Jews don't want you either because you love Jesus. I know it's difficult right now, but be encouraged because you are the first fruits of a great global harvest of new creations. Persecution sent the first believers out of Jerusalem and into the world with the gospel. Because of them, the harvest spread to Syria and Turkey and to Greece and to Rome and Spain and the British Isles, to Egypt, to Africa, to India, to the Far East, all around the world. 2,000 years later, I want to tell you that we are part of the same harvest of which they were the first. We are from the same crop. We are of the same stock. We are the same type and quality as them. And until Jesus comes, more new creations will come after us. And we are a sign of that. More new creations of the same kind. Listen, more new creations. You're the first fruits, and more new creations of the same kind are coming from your family. More new creations of the same kind are coming from your circle of friends, the old gang. You're a sign of that. More new creations of the same kind are coming in your neighborhood. They're coming in your workplace. You're a sign of that. More new creations of the same kind are coming in Greenwich, Connecticut, and Fairfield County, and Westchester County. We're a sign of that. More new creations of the same kind are coming from baby boomers and baby busters, Gen X, Y, Z, and they're coming PDQ. We're a sign of that. There are more Italian new creations that are coming. There are more Anglo new creations that are coming. There are more Black new creations that are coming. There are more Puerto Rican and Dominican new creations that are coming. There are more Central and South American new creations that are coming. More Brazilian new creations that are coming. Praise God. More Filipino, Indian, Korean new creations, whoever I left out, there are more new creations of your people that are coming, and you are a sign of that. Listen, listen, listen. In the midst of your trials, Don't question the goodness of God. And if you succumb to temptation, don't blame him. Remember who is the Father of lights. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place? Oh, come on, let's give him a good praise today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your faces, lift up your hands, lift up your voices. Come on, let's worship him. What a beautiful name it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm gonna pray for you. We're gonna pray together in just one moment. But just before we do, I really feel impressed strongly by the Holy Spirit to ask this question. Perhaps for someone in this room, perhaps for someone that's joining us online today. The question is simply this: do you know the Father of lights? Is the Father of lights your Father? You know, I have to tell you, I truly believe that when it comes to spiritual things, there's no accidents and no coincidences. And I don't know how you found your way to Harvest Time Church today or how you found us perhaps online, but I believe that God intended for you to hear the gospel today. I believe God intended for you to hear the word of truth. And the way that the Father of lights becomes your Father, the way that you receive this spiritual rebirth, this new DNA, this new family heritage and inheritance, the way you receive it is by praying a prayer of believing on Jesus. I wonder if there's someone in the room today, you've never prayed a prayer of believing on Jesus. Or perhaps you're here and you prayed a prayer like that a long time ago and a lot of water's gone under the bridge since then, and today is a good day to pray it for the first time in a long time. Just bow your heads with me today. And if you're here today, you've never prayed a prayer of believing on Jesus, or you prayed it a long time ago and you need to pray it again today, I'm just going to lead you in your seat right where you are. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else but to just pray with me and invite Jesus into your heart. If you'd like to pray a prayer of believing on Jesus for the first time, but for the first time in a long time, right where you are, while heads are bowed, would you just lift your hand real high where I can see it? Thank you, Jesus. You'd like to pray a prayer believing on Jesus for the first time, or maybe for the first time in a long time. Come on, hands all over the place. Thank you, Lord. I believe God meant you to hear the word of truth, the gospel today. Someone else, you'd like to pray the prayer believing on Jesus for the first time in a long time. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask everybody, would you all lift up your hands? If you're willing, would you lift up your hands? And we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to lead and you follow. We're just going to receive the Father of lights is our Heavenly Father. Let's pray. I'll lead you, follow in a nice clear voice. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only Son. Jesus, thank you for coming. You lived a perfect life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Father, I want to be yours. I want to be your child. Forgive my sins. Wash me. Make me a new person. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, I confess you now as my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a good praise in this place today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you prayed that prayer today for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we have a prayer room. It's across the foyer in that direction. Would you stop by the prayer room? Because we just want to celebrate with you. We want to pray a prayer of blessing over you, and we have something that we want to give you. If you're willing, would you take your hand, just put it on your heart. In the midst of your trial, don't blame God. Don't question God. Remember who He is. Come on, would you just, as a confession of faith, would you just say this prayer with me? Let's just say it. Father, I remember you're the promise keeper. You're holy. You're the good gift giver. You're completely dependable. You're the Father creator. You're the giver of new identity. I have purpose. I have new DNA. I'm a new creation. I possess the truth. And I'm a sign of good things to come. I remember in Jesus' name. Let me just pray for you. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that your heavenly protection would just be all around your people. The angel of the Lord camps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Father, I pray that the covering of the precious blood of Jesus would just be upon your people, upon their bodies, upon their homes, upon their families, Lord, upon their assets and possessions, Lord. I pray you'd watch over your people as they travel in cars, Lord. I pray wherever they go, in the city, in the country, Lord, you'd bless them, watch over them coming in and going out. Lord, I pray that you'd assign angels, Lord, just to watch over your people, Lord, to guard them. Lord, I just pray that every assault of the enemy, every attack, Lord, every word uttered, Lord, against them, Father, every weapon formed against them, I pray, Lord, that it wouldn't prosper. I pray every tongue that rises up against your people, Lord, with false accusations, with lies, Lord, I pray that it would be put down and put to shame, Lord. Father, I just pray that your favor would surround your people like a shield, God. I pray you'd shield them in the workplace, Lord. I pray that you'd shield them from maneuvers. I pray that you'd shield them from scams, Lord. I pray that you would just guard your people, safeguard them in every way, Lord. Father, I pray that the joy of the Lord would be our strength. Come on, if you're willing, would you just put your hand, just put it on your core. Just put it on your core, right on your stomach. Father, I pray that you'd strengthen your people in their innermost being with the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. Encourage your people, Lord. Father, holy boldness. Lord, confidence that comes from you. We're not confident in ourselves. We're confident in you. Lord, clarity of mind. Lord, for every person that needs wisdom in whatever they're facing, God, I pray, Lord, that you'd give generously and graciously, generously and graciously. Lord, I pray this would be a great week. I pray, Lord, your people would be walking on air this week, Lord, because they feel your presence with them. Father, we thank you for all these things in the name of Jesus. Would you give the Lord one more good praise in this place today? Thank you, Lord. God bless you, everyone. Sing one more time. After you've sung, there's prayer in the prayer room, coffee and donuts downstairs. God bless you. God be with you. College Connect, we're tonight in Mount Kisco. Come join us. God bless you, everybody.
On Wednesday and next Sunday. Safe home.